giving this message. First off, we've just seen that there's a lot of hardship going on in this community, in this church. There's a lot of people facing a lot of different crazy things, right? Job loss, sickness, honestly, like you name it. It's been really a crazy little bit of a season. And that's why also, like, we've seen this big spike in benevolence requests as well. We've given a couple $1,000s in the last just couple weeks. And so there's a huge need going on out there. A lot of people's worlds seem to be kind of like in turmoil a little bit, right? And so we want to make sure that we do our best to respond to not what the enemy is doing, but what we believe the Holy Spirit is doing in our church. We're going to give credit to him in this, in that he's trying to stir some things up in our body of believers to make sure that we are more resilient, to make sure that we're facing the things that maybe we've been putting off facing, to maybe just get into God's presence in this season in a way that we never have before because we know that we need it. How many of you can say that maybe you're going through a time right now, a tough time right now?
Just be honest.
Yeah, lots of hands going up, right? And so we want to make sure, like I said, that we give opportunity for you guys to encounter Jesus in a way that only he can bring healing and restoration and joy and peace in the midst of some hardships. And so that's what this series is all about, is really making sure that we unpack that God is greater than anything that we're going to face. The God in us is greater than anything that this world can throw at us. Do you believe that? Do you know that this morning? I hope that by the end of this series and even by the end of this morning, that if anybody in here is not fully confident in that fact, that you will leave making a decision to trust God in a way that you never have before. That is our goal today. We want to instill a hope that maybe you haven't seen in your life for a while, maybe you haven't ever seen in your life. It's that important to us that we make sure that everybody grasps that and owns that, not just on Sunday morning, but the rest of your life. And so with that, we're gonna begin this series.
Right, so we're gonna have you open up to Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in scripture. Go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 8. In our app, there's a free Bible. So if you wanna follow along, you can. If you don't have a paper Bible, we want to give you one. We wanna make sure that you get one, so please put that also on your connection card. And then if you're, sorry to be frank, but if you're too lazy to open up your phone, and you don't have a paper Bible, we also have it up here, okay? So we're real here, right? Transparency, it's a real thing. Okay, so Romans chapter 8, verse 31 is where we're going to start. It says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, that's a super theologically rich passage of scripture, so we're going to break it down for you. But the main truth that we want you to take away today, if you don't hear anything else, is that, you know, that verse in 37 says, you are more than conquerors. That's what we are called in Christ, more than conquerors. And so if that's true, more than conquerors maintain a greater than vision. Okay, now hear me say that. More than conquerors, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors, maintain a greater than vision. So let me explain what we mean by that. In Christ, we are called more than conquerors. And what that means is that there is something different offered to those that choose Jesus. Did you hear me? There is something different that we can't get anywhere else, but we can only find in relationship with Jesus. And this passage is saying it's related to this term conqueror, but not just a conqueror, a more than conqueror, right? Even more so, not just a here and there victory, but a more than conqueror. And going more than means going beyond a battle-to-battle mindset. Let me explain what I mean by that. Sometimes in life, we're walking and we're just kind of stuck looking at what's right in front of us, right? Right? We're just like, things happen. Maybe it's a financial thing or a thing in a relationship, or you lose your job or whatever, right? The things that are happening on this level in this time and space are often what we're looking at, what we're our focus, our attention, our thoughts, our stress, our anxiety, whatever, on. But what Jesus is saying here is that, no, I've made you more than a conqueror. And so I'm going to have you not look right in front of you. I need you to lift your eyes and have a greater than vision. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's something happening above the conversation that's happening right in front of our eyes. Okay? And so if we're going to call ourselves more than conquerors, we have to know that more than conquerors maintain a greater than vision, a greater than right here vision. Does that make sense? You got it? Okay. So we want to answer that question, is that if that's true, if you're saying, Ashley, that there is something greater happening above the noise, above the hardship, above the battle, there's a greater war that's happening, and I'm more than a conqueror over the greater war, then how can I maintain a vision that looks above, not stressed and anxious and struggling with the here and now, okay? Don't we all want that? Don't we all want to be able to set our eyes above the battle that's happening here? Don't we, does that just increase your hope and your faith right now? Like, oh, it's not just all about this moment and the thing that I'm enduring. There is something greater happening above the struggle. So we're going to answer the question, how can we maintain that kind of vision in our lives as more than conquerors?
Yeah. Well, the first way that we can know that we can maintain a greater than vision from this passage is that we have to remember that we have a great defender. Remember, you have a great defender. And this is unpacked in verse 31. And this verse alone is something that we could put on our wall, get a tattoo of, whatever you want. And if we just remembered this every moment of every day, man, how different would our lives be? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. And is God for you today?
Yes.
Is God for you today?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
So then who can be against us, right? That is an amazing promise. That if each and every one of us could hang on to that and grip that in the midst of whatever we're facing, that is what's going to give us that greater than vision to see way beyond what's currently in our circumstances. We're going to see way beyond that. It's not about the battle, it's about the war. And who wins the war? God does every time.
Amen.
Every single time. And so here's what's so important about it, remembering that, right? God is promising to defend those who love him. And so there's a key thing too, right? If we're choosing not to let God defend us by not being in his presence, by not choosing the things in our lives that he would want for us, then we withhold his power to be able to defend us at times. And so before we move on, it's absolutely vital that we understand that. Now, God has grace, and sometimes God delivers us from stuff when we don't deserve it. And that is an amazing thing. That's amazing quality of God. Mm-hmm. But we still have to understand that we need to do our part. We need to love him. We need to serve him. We need to obey him. We need to do what he's asking us to do. That way we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are for sure in that defensive zone that he has set up for us. It's vital that we understand that. Mm-hmm. So that defend any those who love him. He's going to promise. He promises to defend those against anything that we face. And this passage later tells us exactly what we will face, right? It's not saying that like this stuff will never happen. It's saying you're gonna face these things. You are going to face things like trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, right? These are some scary things that we're gonna face in our lives. And it's promised to us that we will face these mm-hmm. things. But what gives us that greater than vision that we can be more than conquerors? The fact that God is our defender mm-hmm. against persecution, against trouble, against hardship, against famine, against nakedness, danger, the sword. He is our great defender. We stress too much about the things that are right in front of us when we have a defender who has already dealt with the issue.
Yeah.
Amen? Here's the thing. What I love about this passage, too, is that more than conquerors, there's a the Greek word there is that it's hupernikao, right? That's a crazy word, I know. But, like, what it's saying is that the love of God gives us a glorious hyper-victory. That more than is hupernikao, right? And that's a hyper-victory. So it's a bigger victory than anything we can ever understand, right? It's not just a victory in front of us. It's that long-range, end-game victory. He's the one that has vision over our lives until our very last breath. And he's promising victory for us. That's something that we have to hang on to. God's love and grace has made us hyper-conquerors, empowered to be unrivaled, more than a match for any foe. Isn't that amazing? That's what that promise is, that hyper-conqueror. We are more than a match for any foe that comes against us because of what God has done for us. And this is how we know that we can be more than conquerors. God is the one who makes winning even possible. Only God, only through him is winning possible for us. Anything we try to do on our own, that's not winning, that's getting through. That's not the same. That's surviving sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the same as winning. When we set ourselves up in the position where God can truly defend us, that's when winning can happen. And we're promised this. God is our fortress. He is our shield. He is our rampart. It's all over Scripture. He will defend us against any possible thing that we can face. Do you own that this morning? Amen.
Yeah, so it's one thing in here to say, yes, God is my defender. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Raise your hand if you heard that. I want to see. Okay, so that's like a thing that we say, like, God is my defender, right? But sometimes for us as Christians, just to be honest, I think it's more lip service than it is actual faith deep down in our hearts. And you'll know that because some of us think that we are the great defender. Some of you think that for your life and for the lives of your children, maybe, or the lives of the people around you, that you are the great defender. And you'll know that if you are super stressed out and anxious about what's happening in the lives of those around you. Someone just raised their hand. I won't say that it was my mother-in-law, but just kidding. Thank you. So here's the deal. There's a peace. You'll know that this, that you believe this deep down in your core, that God is your defender. If you carry this peace at the end of every day, knowing that no matter what you're facing, someone is fighting for you.
Yeah.
Someone is fighting for you. Someone is fighting for your kids. Someone is fighting for your finances. Amen. Even when you're not fighting for them, someone else is. And someone's fighting for your marriage, your health, your dreams, your legacy. Somebody else is fighting for you. There's a battle being waged around you, and you're sitting tight, and someone is defending you. And when you know that, you can go to bed at night knowing, you know what, I may have ruined the day for my children, but I'm not... Satan doesn't win the war in our house tonight. God is after them. He loves them more, right? You know what? I'm struggling to submit and humble myself in my marriage, but I just know I got to do what God has put in front of me, and there is someone greater fighting for it, okay? I'm struggling to get out of debt. That's our story. For years and years, it was just a struggle, like tooth and nail, fighting to get out of debt. And there were some times where I just was so stressed and anxious and frustrated about the details of that. But at the end of the day, knowing that God is defending your finances, the richest, the God that owns everything, your father is wealthy and he loves you. He loves you. He is defending your finances. Choosing Jesus has to be more than lip service, guys. It has to be. If we're going to keep a greater than vision, if we're going to be more than conquerors, not just in name, but in life, we're going to experience a life of a more than conqueror. We have to go beyond lip service. We have to demonstrate our faith in the great defender. We have to demonstrate it. And sometimes, guys, that means getting on your knees at the end of a hard day or in the middle of a struggle and saying, Lord, I have to surrender this to you. I need to hand this to you because I can't fix it. If you're bound up in anxiety and worry and stress and trying to control outcomes in your life, then my guess would be that this great defender is just line, is just lip service in your life. And so this is a challenge for us today. You know, there's a simple but profound truth that we might need to hear today. I think some of you need to hear it, and it's simple. You may have heard it before, but you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not, it's not all on your shoulders. It's not, you know, if I don't perform the right way or get things done or whatever, you know, then it's all gonna fall apart. Have you ever thought that before? Like, unless I do something, it's all gonna fall apart. If that is the mantra that you carry, preaching to myself right now, then you need to hear this. You are not alone. You have a great defender. You have someone looking out for you.
Yeah, amen. So do you believe today that whatever you're facing will not consume you? Can you have that vision over the current battle that you're facing? Or have you already stepped into defeat? Because of assumptions, because you just think, I cannot overcome this, there's no way. And here's the truth, you can't on your own. You can't. But God has already provided the way out. He has already provided the defense mechanisms needed for you to be able to get through and overcome. Jesus is in you, the ultimate overcomer. He overcame death itself. He resides in you. He is with you. He is for you. Do you believe that what you're facing will not consume you? If you don't, I want you to just think about what would it look like if you shifted your mindset to believing differently? What if you were able to leave here today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the whatever battle you're facing is already won? And so the step forward that you take next is a step into victory instead of a step into defeat. What would your life look like today if you took every opportunity that you had against every hardship, every struggle, every battle that you face? What would your life look like if you chose to believe victory over defeat? Because God already has done it. Yeah. So it's not something that we just have to will. It's not something that we have to just have good thoughts about, right? It's a truth that we have to choose to live out. I want to ask, so how do we know, right? There's an important question here. We've established, I hope, that God has promised to be our defender. He's promised to be our defender so that we can be more than, we can be greater than whatever circumstances we're up against. But how do we know that God is willing and that he's able to defend us from whatever we face? How do we know that?
Second point we see here is that we have to trust that you have an open-handed father, okay? Trust that you have an open-handed father. If you're going to maintain that vision above the hardship, you have to know that your father is open-handed. And we see this in verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, God did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Okay, he's pointing us back to the truth that God gave us his son, sacrificed on that cross as our perfect lamb for our sin. Okay, so now no longer are we bound by brokenness and shame and cycles of sin. There's a greater victory over that. So if you're finding yourselves in cycles of sin or struggling or whatever, you can know that there's a God that was so open-handed that he gave his own son. And then it says this beyond, so how will he not also, along with him, along with giving up his son, how will he not graciously give us all things? If God sacrificed his son, don't you think he's still got that open hand for us for what we need in the day today? Don't you think that if he gave up the most precious thing, dearest thing to his heart, that he is still open-handed for us for the day-to-day needs and victory that we have before him? You know, it's so important. I believe that Paul, the writer of Romans, I believe that he understood as human beings that it's easy to forget God is open-handed. Okay? Some of us have been carrying around a mindset that knows that God is loving, but still is kind of hanging on to this kid with a magnifying glass over an anthill mentality. You know what I'm talking about? Like he's just waiting to smite me, or I'm not sure. I have this kind of weird distance from him. I'm not sure that he really is open-handed. I have got some doubt that he's intervening in my life, that he's working, that he wants to give me what I need. I kind of doubt that. Maybe you have this weird mentality that he's withholding things from you to teach you lessons, right? And certainly we know that God disciplines those he loves, but that's different. That's different. If there's an open-handed, generous Father that is here and ready to come to your aid. Keeping this mindset of God as open-handed is critical if we are going to live a life as a more than conqueror with a greater than vision.
Yeah. You know, this idea of the open-handed delivery system that God gives us, like, reminded me of the Matrix. So the Matrix, you know that scene where Morpheus has the pills and he like opens his hand and there's two pills and he's like, the red pill is this, the blue pill is this, like he gives you the choice, right? I think too often we think of God in a similar fashion where God has his like hands tied behind his back and he's like, okay, pick a hand, like, and you better pick right, good luck. And it's like, okay, this hand, and he's like, oh, bummer, like that's, you got the bad one, you know, like, that's ridiculous, right? But we go through life sometimes with that mentality that God gives from generously good from one hand and he freely gives bad from another. Mm. It's like he's defending us from his own attacks, right? That makes zero sense. So we end up sometimes like we say like, oh, well, I don't know why God's doing this to me. God, will you help me get out of this situation that you've caused? Like, makes zero sense, but we do that all the time. We assign blame to God on circumstances that we have caused. Amen. So often in our lives. Amen? And we're so quick to be like, well, I don't know why God's got me in this situation, in this plan, but hopefully he's got a way out for me, right? And it's crazy to think that way, as if he's defending with one hand and attacking from another. But we see the truth here that he gives generously. The same thing, constantly. It's exactly what we need. He is freely giving exactly what we need when we need it. Hmm. Owning a more than conqueror mentality means owning that God is who he says he is. He is good. He loves us. Mm-hmm. He cares about us deeply, more than anybody else could. Knows the number of hairs on our head, right? Knit us together in our mother's womb. All these intimate details that God clearly loves us about, like he gave his own son for us. How could he not want good for us? Right? And so we have to own that a more than conqueror mentality means owning that God is who he says he is, and we choose to stop blaming him for things that we cause or sometimes just happen because of the world we live in. We live in a broken world. And so when these things are promised to us, right, up at the top of this passage where it says, death nor life, angels, demons, right? All mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, right? Hardship, trouble, all those things. God isn't causing those things to happen in our lives. He's not shoveling bad out at the same time as he's defending us, right? So we have to understand that it's so important that we mm-hmm. own, that we stop blaming him for things that we cause and that we just happen to fall into sometimes. Because then as soon as we start blaming him for everything, then how can we give credit to when good happens? How can we possibly look at him through any other lens than this angry God who wants bad for us? It's so hard to shift back and forth all the time. Who is God to you? Is he a bully? Or does he love you fiercely? Which one is he? You have to choose. You have to decide that for yourself. And that's what you have to pick to live as a Christian. Mm-hmm. But you cannot keep a foot in both camps. God is who he says he is. He loves you. He wants good for you, always. He does not cause hardship. He does not cause bad things to happen. Sometimes he allows it to happen so that we can deal with it and come to him running. Dad, I need you. I need you, Dad. If we never faced hardship, would we ever think about needing God? Hmm. Right? It's so important that we own that.
Yeah, I just got the like a vision right now that people walked in this room with dwindling hope. Like there was a long tunnel, and at the end there was this little tiny beam of light that you're just holding on to. And I just got the sense that as this word is going out, that hope is increasing. That you're looking down that tunnel and that little tiny light is now expanding and the hope is becoming, what is fanning that flame in you this morning. That you're like, oh yeah, there's a God that loves me, that's generous toward me. I pray that is happening for you today, that you know, someone in here needs to know and he needs to hear it, even though it's said all the time here, but today specifically, you need to hear that God loves you. He loves you fiercely, deeper than your understanding of love, so much so that he sent his son. He emptied himself of his godship, it says, that he emptied himself of all the greatness and he humbled himself and got on that cross and was tortured and took on sin so that we could overcome death in him. God loves you and he has everything that you need. He loves you, and he has everything that you need. The Bible says, you know, if earthly fathers like to give good things to their kids, how much do you think your heavenly father wants to give to you? If earthly fathers are generous and have this natural inclination toward that, then how much more your heavenly father? He's incredibly generous, and I want to reiterate to you that this is not offered anywhere else outside of a relationship with Jesus. This is the only place that you're going to get what you need is in relationship with Jesus. Not what you want, but what you need, what your soul needs. This open-handed Father has a miraculous relationship with you. It's miraculous. The way that he says, you can talk to me anytime for whatever you need. It's never a burden for me. It's never a burden. You can come before me and at any minute say, you know, I told you a couple weeks ago I couldn't even get my shoes on, right? And I'm like, Jesus, help me get my shoes on, you know? Like for the silly little things, he cares and he's present and he's generous. Some of you have been thinking, like, I don't want to burden God's ear with asking him for things. That's not a thing. He's waiting. He's open, standing there. Here, I have it for you. Come and get it. Don't deny him today. And maybe today, and this is a hard part, but some of you need to repent today to change your behavior. Say, you know what? I've been in sin, Lord. I've been blaming you for the consequences of my own actions. Some things are happening to me, and I've been kind of blaming you for it. I've been like, why, God, why? When I did that. So, Lord, I repent of that. Give me what I need. If I need to be swept out of this thing that I've caused, then you'll do it. And if you're walking with me, you know, I think about our debt journey and Matt and I, like there are people, I felt like Matt and I had to fight for every single penny, right? And I just wanted a bailout. You know, don't you just want God to just come? Don't you just gonna go to the mail and open up and be like, look, there's the money. We'll just get out. But there was character and heart change that happened to me. Some of us need to repent today for blaming God for the natural consequences of our actions or blaming God for the general brokenness of the world. Some of us need to change our attitude, focus our thoughts on the truth. You know, I was listening to a podcast this morning and it was just fascinating what she was saying. She's a Christian, but she's a psychologist. And she was saying how our thoughts, our attitudes are a choice. It's a choice. And so here we are just in these thought patterns that we're choosing. And so today, I pray that you will choose, adopt a new attitude as God, as open-handed and generous. And the more that you do that, the more that you lay that down, I believe that God literally rewires our brains and our thinking. It's a miracle that happens when we do that. And so will you today trust that you have an open-handed Father? Question we want to ask moving on is, how do we know that God will give us what we need when we need it? If you say that, Ashley, then how can I know that God will give me what I need when I need it?
I love this point. It's because we can believe in an interceding Savior. We have to believe in an interceding Savior. And so what that means, right? So in verses 26 and 27 above this passage that we shared, if you want to read that later, if you want to write that down, Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with the Father on our behalf. And then verse 34 goes on to say that Jesus sits at the right hand of God interceding for us as well. Two members of the Trinity are constantly bringing what we need before the Father. Constantly. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Jesus and the Holy Spirit both, their job, they love us so much, they know us intimately, and so they are going to the Father constantly telling him, hey, Cody needs this today. He may not know it, but holy cow, Cody needs this today. Both of them, right? The Holy Spirit and Jesus, these members of the Trinity, they're constantly interceding on our behalf because they love us that much. That's an amazing, amazing promise. That's how we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God, the God who withholds nothing from us, knows exactly what to give to us when we need it. He knows exactly what to give us exactly when we need it. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. And what I really appreciate about this passage too is in 26 and 27, it talks about that the Holy Spirit uses wordless groans for us to be able to express what we need. Sometimes don't you feel that? Don't you feel that in you, like this wordless groan, this like stirring up of like, God, I need something. I don't even know how to ask you anymore. I don't know what I even need in this moment, but I need something. I need you. I need you to do something for me here. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to deliver exactly what we need to the Father's ear so that he can hand us exactly what we need. Yeah. Here's what we need to establish, though. What we think we need and what God knows we need may often differ. But we have to believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they see our situations, they know our hearts, they know the circumstances, and they love us enough to intercede for our good. Yeah. And so what God is going to give us is for our good, not to sate a want. Mm-hmm. It's for our lasting good. And our good is so much more important than our wants. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what God has for you is more important than what you think you need? So then, if you believe that, are you willing to look beyond sometimes your own specific requests? Mm-hmm. And when you say, God, I need you, instead of saying, God, I need this, 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 and this, if we could just say, God, I need you and I'm ready to receive whatever you have for me. Mm-hmm. Man, that is taking a step into victory immediately instead of just waiting and hoping that what we think a victory is, you know, is coming, but we're going to be sorely disappointed. Mm-hmm. So if we can change our attitude, God, whatever you know I need, I am ready to receive that.
Yeah, we built a house here 3 years ago, and I'll never do that again. And a year in to living in this house, the floor that we put in was buckling. Like from the front of the house to the back, the whole floor was ruined. And it was, they, you know, Pulte had come out a bunch of times trying to test it, figure it out. And what they determined is that there was moisture that the slab that my house is built on was still wet. They put floor down on a wet slab. They were just kind of going fast. And so now there's moisture and my floor is buckling. And so then, you know, we had to go through all the processes of figuring out who's responsible for this buckling floor and maybe ruined foundation. Okay, and so they told me it was going to be a three-day fix, end up being more like 4 weeks that I was living at my mother-in-law's. And Matt was off drilling. I mean, it was just a really difficult season, right? And I remember during that there were two Pulte reps, okay? There was one that I was texting all the time to get updates and communicate my thoughts and emotions during that time. And then there was another one that I would kind of see sometimes. And there was one, the one that I didn't really text, have a relationship with, I really didn't feel like he was for me, just to be honest. I felt like he was trying to protect I don't know what. Like trying to like skirt me out of what was what I needed, right? And try and make bargains with me to say, you know, why don't we do this cheaper fix? And that'll kind of put a Band-Aid on the situation. But the other rep, I remember, was like, don't even listen to that guy. I got your back. This is what we're doing. We're going to replace the whole floor. And we're going to be generous toward you even more. And we're going to give you new baseboards, okay? And so doesn't it make a difference when you know your customer service rep is for you? Doesn't that make a difference in your attitude, even when you're on the phone with somebody? If you get the sense that someone is for you and they're not, you know, guarding or, you know, withholding from you, you feel more at peace, right, in that situation. And you might even extend more grace to that person if things aren't going the way that you want, because you know, well, you're working on my behalf. Okay, if that's true just in human dealings, how much more in our relationship with Jesus, who we can trust fully, is always working for our good. We never have to wonder, do you really have my best interest in mind? Are you really going to come through for me? You know, I believe that sometimes, for whatever reason, we believe lies that God is not as good as he says he is. Right? But this truth, if we're going to be more than conquerors and maintain a greater than vision, not get swept up in the here and now, but keep our eyes on the victory that Christ has for us, we have to believe in an interceding Savior. We have to know without a shadow of a doubt that our Jesus is standing here with us, but God is also omnipresent, which means that he is at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now saying, okay, here's what they need. Here's what's going on. There's, you know, they don't even know yet what's coming, but this is coming, and this is where we need defense. This is where we need wisdom. This is where we need provision. Your Savior loves you. He's interceding for you. Also have this down. Praise God, we don't always get what we want. You hear me? Praise God. And I know because I've got kids, and they think they want ABC, but I know that's not good for you. You want candy all day, every day, but I know that's terrible for you, right? You want to stay up till midnight, but I know what you're going to be like tomorrow morning. We got to get up to go to church, okay? You want to have, you know, freedom in every which way in your life, but I know the boundaries are good. They make you feel loved. They help you know where your place is in this life, and so I'll be the bad guy if that's what it takes, right? Praise God, we don't always get what we want. There are plenty of things in my life I thought I wanted. And at that time, you know, I had a choice. I could either rise up in bitterness against God and say, well, you don't love me because you're not giving me what I want. Throw an adult spiritual temper tantrum. That's what we do. Be honest. Or surrender and say, just like what Cody said, Lord, not exactly, whatever you have, that's what I want. I need you. Intercede for me. Give me what you know that I need. And I'll tell you what, he does give us what we want a lot of times. He's generous. Right? It's not like he's just withholding from us. He's so generous. He cares about the little details. And so we need to believe in an interceding Savior. And that is for the Christian, the people that don't know Jesus yet in the room, but that's also for the Christians to hear. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? I'm talking, do you really, truly have faith that Jesus is the intercessor for your soul before the Father? Do you believe in him?
You know, to wrap up here, we're going to be doing communion in a moment. Ashley's going to be leading us through that. And as you come up and as you take communion, what I would love is for, as you're getting those elements, I want you to just look at this cross. I want you to think the reality that Jesus overcame the cross. He overcame this. And so when we take his body and we take his blood, right, and we take that and we think, Jesus, just make me more like you. What we're also saying is not just like, make me a better person, but help me be an overcomer just like you are. You overcame death. Of course you can overcome whatever I'm facing right now. So I would hope that as you take this bread, right, and you dip it and you eat it, that you would acknowledge, you want good for me, God? You have a way out of whatever situation I'm in. You love me, and I am ready to receive whatever it is that you have for me. Can we do that today? All right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have the worship team come forward. We're going to go into our time of response to God. So we know, like, in prepping this message, Cody and my heart were so heavy because we just have felt spiritually like our church, the people in here, are under spiritual attack, a lot of you, really just struggling through some difficult things. And so we want to be obedient to the Spirit as he moves. And so we had a whole other sermon series that I personally wanted to do. We threw that out the window. We'll come back around to it because this is what the Spirit has for us in this time. Okay, so during our response, this is built in for you. This is built in for you to do whatever you need to do. Maybe you need to just sit there and just go through the truth that has come into your brain and your heart today and say, God, I want these truths to take root in my life. maybe today you need to repent, right? Maybe today it's, you know what, God, I have been controlling. Wow. It's raining here. Okay. The Spirit's raining down. I have been controlling circumstances, or trying to, right? And so today maybe we need to repent of that, blaming God for our consequences, for our actions. So I'm going to have you bow your heads, and we like to give a time of response here. And so this is just for you. This is just for you to respond to God this morning. I'm just going to ask some questions. And if you find yourself here, I just want to ask you to be brave. Raise your hand. Kind of stamp this moment in time to say, this is the day. This is the day that it all changed for me. The first one is, if you came in here, if that like vision today was for you, if there was a little bit of hope, but you're just sensing an increase of hope now in your life, and that was just for you, would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Thanks, guys. Praise the Lord for how he moves and speaks. Amen. If you're hearing today that more than conquerors, remember that there is a great defender, and you have been trying to be the great defender. You want to set that right in your life today. Focus your attention on him and say, you know what? I'm not the defender. He is. He's got it. Would you raise your hand? That word was for you. Praise God. Second, trust that you have an open-handed Father. If there is any way in you that even now, maybe even now, is struggling with maybe God does withhold, or maybe he doles out hardship, just want to say, you know what, Lord, I need help. Spirit, move, push out lies, replace it with truth this morning. I want to see you as open-handed. I want my thoughts to be changed. I want to know through and through that you have what I need and that you're willing to give it. Not you have what I need and sometimes you're willing to give it, but you're always willing. You're standing there open-handed. Would you just raise your hand if that truth is for you? Praise God. I'm going to ask two questions here. For those in the room that don't know Jesus yet, you've never had a moment where you said, man, that's offered to me? And I don't have to do anything to earn it? Just a relationship with a God that loves me, cares for me, sees me, is open-handed, willing to give me what I need, to dig me out of the holes that I'm in? If you've never said, I want a relationship with him. I believe in an interceding Savior. And this morning you want to say, you know what? Today, that's for me. I'm going to concrete that in my life today, that I'm giving my life to Christ for the first time. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Just let that be a moment. If there's anyone in here that you feel like that word is for you, just don't be afraid. Second, that know Jesus as their Savior, and you got to restate today, you know what, I need to believe in that interceding Savior. It's more than just lip service. There is a God that is interceding on my behalf, and I'm giving my life to him all over again. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. Just want you to know that if you raised your hand for salvation this morning, you said, you know what, Jesus is my Savior for the first time, that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, which is the fullness of the power of God, comes to take residence up in you, so that the same power that conquered the grave now lives in you. You are now deemed more than a conqueror. Amen. We're going to go into a time of communion, and this is just the ultimate remembrance of what Jesus did for us. This is what he did. He took the bread and the cup and he passed it around to his best friends the night before he was betrayed, knowing they would fail him, knowing they would scatter, knowing that they would have to go through their own journey of really figuring out, what do I believe about this Jesus? Yet he still took it and he said, I'm about to go to the cross. My body is going to be broken for you. Do not forget it. My blood poured out for you. Do not forget the depth of my love for you. And that's why we do communion. The way it works in our church is that if you are a believer in Jesus, you can take communion. At any time during the second part of the service here, you can get up, come to the front. There's a bread here. You can dip it into the juice. Go back to your seat. I will say this. The Bible says don't take it lightly. This is a miracle that we're partaking in. It says that God's grace meets us when we partake in communion, that that he's with us here. Know that you know that you know that your Savior loves you this morning. God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that there's people in here that walked in feeling defeated that are now having hope arise, that they're hearing your word saying, I am more than a conqueror. It's not just about winning the battle in front of me, but Lord, I belong to you. You've won the war. God, I pray that as we begin this series today, would you move in this place? Lord, you know what we need. You know the battles we're fighting. You know the heaviness we're carrying, the stress, the anxiety, the conflict, the burdens. Father, your word says that we can trade our heaviness for your light and easy yoke. And so this morning, as we come forward, as we partake in communion, we remember what you did, Father. I pray that there would be a supernatural trading of burdens this morning, that we would hand over heavy, we would hand over fear and worry and take on the title of more than a conqueror. Lift our eyes, God, above what we can see right in front of us, God. Increase our faith, increase our hope.